Hi guys, and welcome back to the Rugby Abroad podcast. Got an absolute peach of an episode lined up for you with two English-Italian boys living the dream out in Torino. Just a couple of updates before we get started. We've got a new logo. Hope you like it. And it was designed for us by one of our collaborators, Dart Studio on Instagram, or to be more precise, Dart_Studio. She's doing all sorts of brilliant work and it's all available on her Instagram account, so give it a follow. And don't forget to subscribe to the Rugby Abroad podcast, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, or anywhere else you might listen to us. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And to listen to all our episodes and much, much more, visit us at rugbyabroad.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the Rugby Abroad podcast for season two. I've said it three or four times before, but now we're officially well into season two. And welcoming today, Eddie and George Reeves, two brothers who just played this season in the Serie A in Italy. And they've just literally come off the back of one of the greatest promotions I think I've ever heard in my life. Totally unexpected by the bookies, at least. Guys, how are you? Great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Sam. Thanks.
Hello, Sam. Nice to see you again.
Guys, Eddie and myself, we played a year together at San Donar in Italy, close to Venice. I mentioned it on the last episode, San Donar, actually, but it was in Spanish, so you guys must have not picked it up. Great to see you again, Eddie. First time, boys, I'm having two-on-one in the podcast. We've got three people on here. This is an absolute first, an absolute treat as well. Guys, massive congratulations on your promotion to the top 10 in Italy. Wanted to ask you, first of all, if you could tell us a bit about your rugby career up to this point, your rugby careers, each one of you. Firstly, who's the older brother, by the way?
I am. I'm the older brother.
The boss?
Yeah. No, not really, but I'm the older brother.
Yeah, so talk us through it. If you want to go one at a time, that'd be awesome.
At the youngest kid, my first.
So nice. I started playing at 6 years old at Custorino and went through all the age grades from the under six until the under 18s. Then I started in the first team where we were in Serie B. And in the first year, we got promoted in Serie A. Then I played 5 years in Serie A. And then last year, we came back and was able to play with Edward again because we only played one game in the under-18s against Settimo. Well, that was a good game, but it was nice having him back and getting 18 wins out of 18 and getting promoted to the top 10 was awesome.
That's massive. George, I've got to mention, you have a slightly more Italian accent than your bro. How's that come about? And what are two English boys such as yourselves doing in Italy for such a long time? What's the story, Eddie?
So I think my accent's more English because I've lived with a lot of foreigners in San Donar. So I've lived 5 years in San Donar after leaving Turin. I've always lived by the Kiwis, Australians, South Africans, Argentinians, and people abroad. So mostly I've spoken more English than Italian when I was in San Donar, so that's why I think I've got an English accent.
But you are half English, are you not, you guys?
Oh yeah, we were both born in Torino, in Turin, in Italy.
Yeah.
Mum's Italian, my dad's English. My dad's from London. He came to Italy when he was 20, close to his 30s, I guess, 27, 28. And then he met my mum, and they got married, and me and George and Rebecca came out.
Nice, so just popped out there.
We got a sister of, she's 19, she's 22. She's 22.
Nice, and you guys obviously just finished the season on absolute high. Eddie, you were playing in San Donar for like 5 years. How did the move come about to Torino? Was it like did it just come about that it happened to open up and you wanted to move home?
Obviously, as you know, Sandon Alf had to shut down because of COVID. You know, we all had to leave because the club had shut down. But at the beginning, I was still unsure of what to do, whether to try and stay in another top 10 club and or come back home. Custerino were always pushing, even the years before, for me to come back. And being also a university club, it was great. It was a good opportunity for me to, go one step back, but have a plan B outside rugby. So I came back here last year and started my university. Obviously last year we didn't play because it was COVID. And then this year we played and managed to get top 10. It was, as I said, it was a step back, but I knew the club wanted to always go better than the year before. So even just coming back home, I'm not leaving my family, I'm just leaving my, with some teammates. Coming back here and playing with my brother, I think it was an easy decision for me to take.
That's so cool. And like, honestly, I heard the Torino story a little bit from this year. But I don't know if anyone outside of your team expected you guys to get promoted. It kind of reminds me, this year, I don't know if you followed the English leagues at all, but in National One, we just had Coldy, who just got promoted from the north of England to the English Championship for the first time. And they're quite a small club, but they've just kind of, against all odds, got promotion there. And just formed a great team and had a really, really, really great setup and good culture within that team, and they just went on to get promoted. Did you guys have something similar? What was the secret this year?
Well, I think the secret was that during the COVID period, we didn't change a lot of players. So like only two or three just left. So we had a good core group. And from there we developed. And for me, in my opinion, we haven't got a lot of good individuals, but a really good team. So a really good team stuck together. It just works for each other. And we just, game by game, we won and then started dreaming and then finished.
Amazing. And was there anything in the rugby you guys were playing? What kind of rugby was it? Was it directed by the coach or the players, or how was it led, and what type of rugby?
It was, everybody had their opinion, but always the coach had to know it and not know what was happening and things like that. So if you got an idea, just say to the coach and you could propose something. And it was like an open-minded rugby, a lot of ball in play. So we like to put our offensive game and work a lot on the defense. So
yeah,
good defense, best defense and best attack in the league. So there was an objective and we got it.
Nice. How good. And have you guys played in the same team before? Eddie mentioned it before. And what positions do you both play?
I'm a fly half.
Yeah, and I started as a fly half, then went to Sandonar. Still was a fly half for the first year, then moved to a fullback and winger.
Nice. So were you competing for a spot there, Eddie, or have you stuck to the wing fullback position in Torino?
I used to play, even here, I used to play sometimes 10 or fullback, you know, they're quite similar in the way they play. At the beginning, yeah, I came back as a 10 and he was in England. He was playing in England the year when I came back, so I was playing 10. And when he came back, he took the 10 jersey and I just went 15, which I prefer. So
you just handed it over to him, did you?
Handed over the captain armband and stuff. Well, it wasn't okay. Mine. Just came back.
George, so it sounds like the younger brother in this case, he seems a bit of a leader on the pitch then, if you've come back and taken the 10 shirt and the captain's armband as well. Is that, would you say out of the two of you, George, you're more of the leader on the pitch, leader and listener roles? Eddie, do you take orders from your little bro, or are you also giving it out?
I don't like giving orders, but I like to lead the team around. I listen a lot to my teammates, like players with a lot of experience, like Edward, who's played 5 years in top 10. He asked me a lot, also like having him from fullback. When I'm playing at 10, he's got extra eyes for me. So he helps me a lot around the field. But like also some other players, they've got a lot of experience as years of playing in the first team helped me a lot. So when I came back from England, I was already, before leaving Custrina, I was already in the leadership group. So I was vice captain. Then I came back and there was the elections. So the players elect their captain and I was selected as captain. And that was really a nice achievement for me. And also knowing that Edward voted for me was really nice.
That's great. And it's great to see that you guys have got that player-led sort of captain selection. I really like that. That's something that I think more teams should do. What I wanted to ask George was, how was your experience in England? Where did you play? What was the club? Do you want to give them a shout out? Do you, obviously, they've been played a part maybe in your success this year. I'm not sure.
I went to Bury St Edmunds in National 2. But I wasn't able to play because of COVID hit again. So
what a shame.
The season got cut off. And then Lucas, our coach here, contacted me and he said, just come back and start the season again with us. And so I was, I just did pre-season with Bury, then did a couple of training sessions and then everything was cut off for COVID. So.
Did you pick anything up from that short time in England? It was obviously a nice little experience abroad. Do you guys get away to see your dad's family much back in England?
Yeah, surely. I was able to live in the same city where my nan lives. That was good. But I also picked up a lot of little things around the pitch, and also on it. So you got. A lot of more players who took a lot more on the pitch. So when I came back, I demanded a lot more people who started talking and making their voice heard. So like when you're playing as a fly half, a playmaker, you just like to turn around and everything ready and lots of voices and you just choose who to give the ball.
Yeah, I as a fly half myself, George, I found that quite tough playing in Italy as well. Not many talkers on the outside, but like the year I played with Eddie, I was all right. I had some good communication coming in, so that was key. And do you guys have a good relationship on the pitch? You've already mentioned you do.
Yeah, we do. We do. I'd say we do have a good relationship on the field because we enjoy playing with each other, and we sometimes our ideas. You know, there's a bit of contrast in our ideas sometimes. There was quite a few times, I think, in pre-season when either, you know, when there's one team against the other, so I'm on one team and he's on the other. He's kind of annoying. He talks a lot and he's my nerves. So we sometimes have a scrap. But during this season, then it's always both in training and in matches, always communicating and trying to find a better way for the team. Even during the week, we would we'd sit down, watch videos of our game, watch videos of the other teams, to try and see what was the best way to get the win.
How good. So what's in store then for top 10? Are you guys looking forward to it? Is the club looking forward to it? Is there anything that's changing in the club in preparation for that? Or are you just going to go in kind of like eyes shut, see what happens?
A lot of us are preparing now. We're all excited for this opportunity. And the club is working to make some progresses on the pitch, on everything around it, and also working on some players to come and play for us so that the squad is bigger. So we need a bigger squad, a lot more competition between places. And each position has got one or two players after him. So if one gets injured or he's not playing well, the other one can come on and change the game. And so those are the things that are changing the club, and everybody is very excited to start. So can't wait now.
Yeah, just to add on it, I think the key thing I think for us will be enthusiasm. You know, we've worked hard 2 years for this. We're all youngsters. There's guys 20, 19 years old who always, you know, dreamt of playing in top 10. They've come here to study and then I'll know we're in top 10. So the thing is, enthusiasm, and I think we've got nothing to lose. So it will be nice that a small club like us goes to Rovigo, goes to Calvisano, you know, those big boys, and then they have to come here. So it's all enthusiasm and just looking forward to it with nothing to lose.
That's right. Totally agree. And Eddie, you did a stint and you played some international rugby with Italy. And George, did you as well? Did you both?
I only did the academy stuff.
What is that? Sorry, just explain to our listeners the academy stuff in Italy.
So it I did it 6 years ago. There were 9 academies divided in Italy in different zones. So we were in the north, west, and there were the top 30 players from Aosta, Piemonte, and Liguria, or three different regions in Italy. And we trained all together, we lived together, and then we played against the other 8 academies from Italy.
And it's like an academy league, is it? Does it go for a whole year?
Yeah, it goes the whole year, but you play during the season, you play with your own club on the weekend. And when you've got the weekend off with the club, you play with the academy. So that's the only thing that weekends off, you don't play with the club, but you play with the academy.
Nice. And Eddie, what about you?
I did the same academy as George did. Then I was lucky enough to get selected for Italy under 18s. I went to do the European Championships and then under 19s and stuff. I went to South Africa, I went to Ireland with Italy. And then did all the camps before either World Cup and Six Nations, but then didn't get selected. One I was injured, and then the other one I just wasn't selected. But it was nice. It was nice. I knew a lot of players that now play with Italy. I played with the likes of Minozzi, you know, Bettinelli, all those guys in the younger ages. And
yeah,
and also one of my teammates that's here used to play with me in the Italian under 20s or whatever.
Great. So it seems like there's a lot of opportunities for young guys to kind of not just play in their clubs, but also play regional level in Italy. Is that still the case? Is it the same academy system, or is there something else now?
Now it's changed. It got, it was money. There's not much money. So I think from 9 or 7 academies, it got down to 4. So there's one in Milan, one in Rome, one in Treviso, and start. I think there's three academies. So now I think they play a little championship between them, and then the guys, when they're not playing against the academies, they just go back to the clubs and play for the clubs.
Oh, nice. And you guys have a view on the difference between Italian and English rugby. George, you might have more of a view from having seen it up close, but do you guys get to watch much English Premiership or...?
Yeah. We just love watching rugby. So we watch we watch all sorts of rugby, like from the English, sometimes the French, obviously the European Championships and things like that. But yeah, I was able also to commentate on a couple of games this year with Mola TV. Me and one of my teammates went as like just people, special rugby
analysts.
So we just were able to commentate on Gallagher Premiership games, and there was
nice.
Because usually we look for the links, streaming and things like that, and I was able to just watch the game and commentate and say stuff I enjoy watching
without having to find a dodgy streaming link. Yeah. How good is that?
Yeah.
Couple of questions. I sent out a message to some of the listeners to say that you guys were coming on, and there's a couple of questions that came in. One is Italian food versus English food.
Italian food versus English food. Well, obviously, the answer is one. I think Italian food is probably one of the best, if not the best, in the world because of the variety of food there is. You know, the weather is great and stuff. And the thing about Italy, with having 20 regions, every region has got some typical food, you know. So you can go to Veneto and you eat something, baccalà, you eat some kind of typical fish. Then you go down under, you eat pizza in Naples. Here you eat you know, so every little region has their own.
Hang on, mate. You're telling me that England doesn't have a special sort of own variety in every single little region?
As much, you know. I don't know. What do you think? You've tried them both. You've also tried the Spanish one. So you can even the best out of the three.
You're right. I'm with you. Italy is right up there. I've got to big up Spanish food as well. I am living here now. And yeah, my family is half Spanish. So I am all for Spain and its sort of food stuff. But Italy takes it by a mile. And the coffee as well.
And the coffee, yeah. And the wine.
And the wine, I mean, we could have a competition with the Spanish regions as well. But here's another one for you boys. Pizza or pasta, now that you've decided Italian food's better than English food?
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
What's your pre-match meals?
Yourself? Pizza or pasta?
I'm pizza every day. But I do love pasta, so I might have to just go both. Can I do that?
Before a game, you never know.
Best pizza I ever had was in when we were playing in San Donar, and along the way from Jesolo, down mm-hmm. next to Venice, there's a little village called, I think it's called Cavallino Treporti,
yeah,
if my pronunciation is correct. And there's a little pizzeria there right on the lagoon, which yeah. overlooks Venice from the side there. And I can't remember its name. I think it's called Trattoria. La Trattoria... Laguna, maybe Trattoria Laguna. Okay, if anyone listens to this and they're ever in near Venice, make sure you go to this pizzeria. It's the best pizza I've ever had. Tell me you've been there, you boys, one time at least.
I don't think I have. No,
but you'll tell. Go on. Hey.
Now you've told me, I'll have to go when I go back.
Yeah. I mean, you'll probably tell me the pizza's far better in Naples.
Yeah. But mind you, it's good in Naples, but all over Italy, you have people do pizza, even the Napoli way, so.
Yeah. You know. Well, this was like, I've never seen such a giant pizza, but that wasn't it. The guy had like secret ways of doing every part of the pizza. It was just insane. I was just like, this might actually end up becoming a food podcast. I spent like the whole of last episode just talking about the differences in food between different parts of the world. I think we should just do a culinary episode. I invite you boys back and you can just give me your 2 cents. George, you'll have to tell me about every single region of Italy and its different food.
Okay.
How's that?
We'll study all right.
it. So you boys obviously looking forward to next year. What's the plans for the future?
But we're starting on the 25th of July with the team. So just be competitive this season and see what comes out. And then I just like to live year by year. So I just have to finish also my university. So I'm on the first year of the masters. So probably next year I'll finish my university. So I'll see what comes next.
Great. What are you studying, George?
Sports science in Turin.
In Turin, nice. And you, Eddie?
Yeah, same. So obviously I started a few years later because I was planning something else and studying. So this is my second year of university. So I've got 3 more. But that's the thing that's going to be so good next year for all of us, because basically 90% of our team are all students and they're studying mathematics, physics, engineering and stuff, so they study a lot of hours a day, and that's going to be interesting to see how people are going to try and still do well at university and still trying to compete at the best level in Italy, both
definitely
morning and afternoon or late afternoon or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can compare it with my time in university in England, and I think it's slightly different because in England the universities are set up so that you can compete at a high level of rugby while studying, and then the two never clash and they never have to get in the way. And I think, and the one encourages the other. So the rugby club will encourage you when it's exam time, you know, there'll be less training, more studying. And the academic side will also encourage you to take part in the extracurricular, the sports side and the sports teams. And I think that's a great thing about English universities. And then here in Spain is the complete opposite. Maybe it's similar to Italy, but the universities don't really even have a rugby team. Guys studying sport at my university in England would have played for the sports team, would have played for their rugby team, the football team, or, you know, of the university, because that's the highest level around. But in Spain, there's not no link, and guys have to go to classes, and they sometimes can't make training and stuff. Will you guys have a similar problem like that in Spain?
Yeah, I think it's more similar to Spain than in England, because people go to university both morning and sometimes afternoon up to 5 o'clock. But obviously now the club are also speaking to the universities, because to talk about the problems that even though they still need to do well at university, they still need to do well at rugby, because obviously if you don't train, you can't compete in a challenge and you're going to get thumped every weekend. So I think the club is trying to talk to the universities, and the universities, for what I've known so far, have come towards the club and even supported, and because it's also an honor, you know, for the university. Yeah. You know, it's a privilege for the university to have such, you know, so
in this case, it is actually a team that's linked to the university already. Or is it just by name that is linked to the university?
It is linked to the university. So Torino gives the opportunity to players coming from all around Italy, also from abroad, to study, and they help them like studying, giving them a house. And also the university knows the level of sport activities that they do. So like you've got players studying engineering, but at the same time playing in top 10, and the teachers know that and could help them like fixing the exams or helping them with some private lessons, and that's also the possibility that Turin gives you.
That's great. And you boys, do you ever see yourselves going abroad to play? I know, George, you already had that little experience in England. How old are you, by the way, George?
I'm 23.
And Eddie, you're the older brother, so maybe time's running out for that kind of experience, or is it something you guys would be open to in the future, traveling and playing?
You never know, because I think with rugby, you never know what's going to happen the next year, you know? Like yourself, you've moved England, Italy, Spain, so you never know who you meet, who you play against, who whatever. So I just
France.
You never know what happens, so I always keep all the doors open. As you know.
Nice.
The career is short, you know, 35, I don't know, 36, 37. Because you're close to that age, aren't you?
Don't give me more years than I've got. Blimey, I'm 31, thank you very much. A few years to go yet.
You've got 10 years in you.
Yeah, just about.
You never know where you're going to go.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's good to keep those doors open. And what are your guys' views? You obviously watch a lot of rugby, as you said before, on Italy's chances at the World Cup.
Football World Cup. not even that, no. Obviously, it's going to be a tough also pool stage, because they've got a tough group, but I don't think they'll be able to even get out of the pool. But we support England, actually. We support England.
Interesting. Yeah. Why is that? So
obviously, having an English dad, he follows more sports than mum. So we've always grown up watching England. And so we support England. Obviously, if Italy do well in something, we're happy for them. But like in Italy versus England, we always support England.
I got on the last episode, the guest, he's an Argentinian international called Nicolas Coronel. And he was asking me, he's actually an England supporter as well. He said, I guess he supports Argentina first though. But he was asking me about the Barbarians game. I don't know if you guys saw that. Yeah. And he asked me about my thoughts. I said, I think Eddie Jones has got to go. He's confused. He's confused about the rugby he wants to play. And he's now changed his style completely. And what do you guys think? He thought that we are still got a chance to win the World Cup. And I said, I think you're deluded, mate.
I always like to dream that England are able to win the World Cup, but like he started really well and now he's doing stuff like he's going against everything that everybody's telling him. So he's like fighting against the media and things like that. Well, he just has to select his best 15 players every time. And he's got loads of players and he goes and put like Curry number 8 and things like that that we don't understand.
Shocking, isn't it? I don't understand how you can have guys playing at the top of their game on form and just get left out of even the training squads. It's mad.
Yeah.
What do you think, Eddie?
Yeah, same. Yeah, I think he's quite stubborn. You know, he doesn't want to change his ideas, even though he's wrong. He wants to prove everyone wrong, you know.
Yeah, I feel like he's coming round. I don't know, but the English Premiership's changed this year because there's no relegation and there's a lot more attacking rugby. So it makes sense that he's moving towards that, but it's not a very English way of playing. I mean, you look at how Leicester Tigers won the league. Now that was a typical English way of playing, you know, kick the ball and defend, essentially. I think they kicked 90% of their possession away in the final, still ended up beating Saracens. Do you know what I mean? And Eddie's suddenly trying to change the year of a World Cup or a year and a bit away from a World Cup, trying to change the whole mentality completely to us trying to attack from everywhere. I don't know if it's going to work in such a short space of time.
Yeah, trying to play like France or something like that. Yeah, I think yeah, you need to stick to their strengths. You know, strengths, line out, scrum, defense always been good. So they've got players. They've got bags of players, bags of young players, full of running and stuff. But it still needs to do. It's right. I doubt they'll do well in Australia in the next few weeks, but we'll see.
We'll see. And your Torino side, are you guys going to look to change your style to play top 10, or are you going to keep the same ingredients that got you so far this year?
No, I think we're gonna stick with what we've done and what has gone well. So like, also watching some of the games of top 10. You don't see a lot of teams like who want to play a lot, like they kick a lot, do a lot of phases, but don't have a lot of options. What we want to do is have options all around the pitch and play a lot and entertain the crowd.
Nice. See if you can get all those uni students down to support, no?
Yeah.
That'll be a good atmosphere. And I've got to ask before we finish off, Eddie, I know you're a big football fan as well, a Torino fan. Are you season ticket holder at the moment? Are you going down to all their games?
No. Well, I didn't have a ticket last year. I didn't have a season ticket holder because obviously we were playing on Sundays and most games, Serie A football games, are on Sunday. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing in the Chilense. You know, you play either on Saturday, maybe once or twice you play on Friday. So there'll be more possibilities of going to watch games because, as you know, I'm a fan of Torino, as he is, so he comes to the stadium with me, so yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. So was that extra incentive to get promoted then, to free up more days to go and see Torino football more play?
Yeah, 3 weeks after promotion, Ed had said, so now we've got more time to go and see Torino now.
How good. I can't even remember the last time I went to see a Tottenham game live. Bloody hell. Must be about 8 years ago, I think.
When they leave this year, you can go and watch in Spain.
Yeah, my local team here, Valladolid, have just been promoted back into the top division. So, you know, the old Ronaldo, number 9 Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo, he's the owner of the club here, but he's caused a bit of a stir. He's trying to change the club badge and everything. But he has got them back to where they belong, which is top division. So maybe I get to see a Real Madrid at home or Barcelona at home. They pack out the stadium here. It's good stuff. You boys should get over for a visit if you get a weekend off.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Boys, it's been fantastic talking to you. I wish you all the best for next season. Hopefully you get a few big scalps of some of the big boys. You might even have a good fight against one of my other old clubs, Rugby Lions, Piacenza. Will they be a target for you boys? I know they were close to the bottom this year.
Yeah, we already played Lions when they were in the Serie A in we were able to beat them, so that's an extra incentive. So
okay, nice.
We try and do the double.
Nice. Well, thanks for coming on, boys, and sharing a bit of your story, and all the best for the future, and especially for next season and the studying and the rest of it. Cheers for coming on. We'll speak soon.
Thanks for having us. All the best to you and your family, and take care and good luck for the season. You're staying another year in. How long are you staying there in your club?
Yeah, I've got another 2 years to go on the contract. And then I'm doing an important coaching course this summer, actually, the World Rugby Level 2. So hopefully on the path to make that transition into coaching. So who knows, maybe our paths will cross again, lads. Or yeah. Eddie, at least. Georgia will be the first time. Hey?
Why not?
Yeah, is that an invite? Keep me posted. Torino's quite a nice spot, I've heard.
Yeah, not too bad.
All right, lads. Brilliant to speak. Okay. And we'll catch up soon.
Be great.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers, bye. Thanks for listening, guys. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And to listen to all our episodes and much, much more, visit us at rugbyabroad.com.